The following production was recorded and produced on the traditional, ancestral, unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations, commonly referred to as Vancouver, BC. During this program, there will be light references to colonization, racism, homophobia, transphobia, misogyny, and other topics that are often unfairly represented in the dominant culture of stand-up comedy. The program will also feature a small amount of swearing sporadically over the course of its roughly 55-minute runtime, so please continue to tune in up to your own discretion, and I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome. The show is going to get started. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome. How many of y'all, this is your first time at the show? Oh, my God. So many of y'all. Welcome. Welcome. Thank you for coming to spend your Friday night with us. Welcome to the show. If this is your first time, this is Laughs in Queer. We are a queer-centered community open mic. First thing I want to tell y'all about Laughs in Queer is that we run things a little bit different from a typical comedy show. There is one rule, and that is nobody is allowed to bomb. That is a rule for you, the crowd. Comedy is hard. Getting on stage is being vulnerable, and we are here to love and support everyone. The second thing that I want to share with y'all today is that means you don't have to be a comedian to get up here. You don't even need to want to be a comedian to get up here. In fact, I find people who really want to be comedians sometimes a little suspect. Not always, just sometimes. The third thing that I want to share with everyone is this is a queer space. That does not mean that you need to be gay to speak. We are not Blue Sky, okay? What queer actually means, queer means weird, politically transgressive. Queer means you have an unexplainable affinity for bad haircuts and nose piercings. So if you have or are or respect any of that, then you are welcome here. With that, let's get on with the show, shall we? How many of y'all came with a partner today?
I don't know about y'all, but whenever I go out with my friends, I have a good time. We go out, we make jokes, we tell stories, and we laugh all night. And I used to wonder, why don't we see more queer people doing stand-up comedy if we're all so funny?
And now the old-fashioned, they go, oh, they want to use our toilets. Why shouldn't they use your toilets? For ladies. They are ladies. Look at their pronouns.
And then I go to a comedy club or I watch something on Netflix and it's like, oh, right, because this sucks. Like, why would anyone want to participate in an art form where people genuinely think Ricky Gervais has something intelligent to contribute to the culture? You know, like, why would anyone do that? And now, obviously not everyone sucks, and obviously not all the time, but definitely enough people suck enough of the time that it makes the whole endeavor a little bit fraught, a little bit difficult to get into, a little bit inaccessible.
Describe the Vancouver open mic scene in one word.
I need a second.
I know. Maybe that's my answer.
Cruel and unusual.
Occasionally treacherous.
Unfunny.
Lonely.
Unnecessarily hostile.
Heavy lifting.
A cringy?
Bro-y, kind of like hold the maintaining the gross power structure from the 90s of stand-up comedy. Yeah, like it's they're not fun. Like even audiences don't go to them because they're not fun. So we need to like change that and be the power gay rights.
So considering that most people gave me answers similar to how I would describe a conservative political conference, you can understand why I wanted to start my own open mic. Oh, and before we get too far, my name is Kay. I use the pronouns she, her, and they, them. And this is a story about how Vancouver's open mic scene is getting a lot more queer, thanks to the efforts of some amazing people in the community, and maybe even myself, just a little. Welcome to Laughs in Queer.
All right, amazing. We are going to keep it going. Next up, I'm going to bring up Natalia.
Wow, there is a lot of people here. That's crazy. This is so cute. I like this event has grown so much from like, we've had some nights where it was like 7 people like last year, and we were like, we're gonna have a great time, and then we did have a great time. So let's keep it going. I had like a really nice holiday break, and it really like clouded my perception of the world because I spent it with like my queer little family. I was just surrounded and just like bouncing off lesbians like every day. And it's Vancouver, so you're just like seeing lesbians all the time. You're just like, this is lesbian capital of the world. It's just like, I'm just like, the city just runs on lesbians. And then I went back to work and I experienced culture shock because I'm like, ah, yes, the holders of state and power, white men in their 40s, most of my coworkers. Woo!
And yes, we had tons of fun in those early days, but I need to clear something up, Natalia. 7 people is slander. I am currently looking at the original Eventbrite listing from June 14th, 2023, and we sold 10 tickets. And I think like 2 people came into the door, so 12, okay? Come on. For context, Natalia is another trans woman from Colombia who happened to go to that first open mic, and over the course of the next 2 years, slowly became one of my best friends. That recording of her was taken in January 2025 at Slice of Life Gallery on Venables and Commercial, where we now host the show monthly. And on that day, we had over 50 people in the audience, more people than we had chairs to accommodate them. And that is slowly becoming not unusual for us. So in retrospect, I can understand why maybe you thought it was only 7 to begin. Laughs and Queer didn't actually start as an open mic. It started as a comedic writing workshop that ended in an open mic. I had taken a comedy class while I was at UBC and found out that I was actually pretty good at comedic writing, and I also make a living teaching workshops, so I figured it would be fun to invite all my friends into a room, teach them the basic structure of a joke, and just try to make each other laugh.
Let's get started. So welcome everyone to Laughs and Queer. This is, as far as I'm aware, one of the only queer, trans, like centered open mics. The rules. The rules are we clap for everyone that gets on stage, right? Where this whole idea started was I wanted to do comedy. And I got started doing comedy, and I was like, well, where do I go practice? And I looked around, and I looked at all the different places, and I talked to other comedians, and the universal thing I heard from queer comedians about open mics was don't. Just don't. Don't even try.
I hope you can forgive the recording quality. I hadn't quite dialed my setup in back in October 2023. But over time, you figure things out, and over time, more and more people keep showing up. Honestly, I believe that the success of Laughs and Queer comes in large part because I had really no frame of reference for what a comedy show or an open mic should be. I never really went to any open mics, maybe like 1 or 2 local shows, but I remember one comic very distinctly making a really awful joke about women, and I was just like, nah, that's not for me. Originally, I had a clip here of an infamously misogynistic joke that came out recently from a big-name comedian. But honestly, I don't want to give him the publicity, and I already had to make you listen to Ricky Gervais, so I'm exercising restraint. And if you're thinking to yourself, well, that description fits a huge amount of material from big-name comedians today, yeah, you're right. So my first time ever doing stand-up on stage was actually a paid gig for Vancouver Pride. My friends were organizing an event. They were all spoken word poets, which I used to be. But I told them, hey, you know, I think I'm going to try comedy now and see where that takes me.
Pride Month is the one time of the year I want to be heterosexual. Right? Because, like, the rest of the year, like, I'd be like, I'm gay. And then it's like, ooh, you're gay. During Pride Month, it's like, I'm gay. And everyone's, like, cheering for me. I'm like, no, there's no edge. Right? There's no excitement. Like, if I ask straight people in the crowd, make some noise. See? See how, like, dangerous that was? Like, yeah, clap for how brave that was, by the way. Also, I would like to point out the straight person, only person in the crowd wearing rainbow earrings.
So I went from never being on stage to being a paid comic, performing at Pride, to hosting my own show, and then performing at Pride for the next 2 years before I was ever really engaged in the local stand-up scene. Which is why I think the structure of Laughs and Queer is kind of backwards when you compare it to a typical open mic. I've since learned that the most common structure is that usually there's a fixed number of spots and you put your name in a bucket and hope that you get one of them for 2 to 3 minutes. And there's usually a few pro comics in the middle because it's kind of assumed that at least some of the open mic material is going to be a disaster. And it's important to have one or two professionals at least so that any audience members who come in are not having a terrible time. Not that there are many audience members, because usually the people who go to these open mics are comedians themselves trying to get on stage. What qualifies a pro comic? Who knows? But in case you've never been to open mic comedy, here's an example.
Hey, I'm kind of nervous because there's more than 6 people here, so I can't. You know, I heard that it costs like $5,000 to get your license in Sweden. So it's probably safe. I don't know. I don't have a punchline for that. I wish we had free bicycles, though. It's okay. I'm all right. This is just a regular night for me.
And yes, I did just Google bad open mic comedy and click the first link on YouTube, but if you've gotten to a lot of open mic comedy, you know that that clip is not unrepresentative of the experience, because you know what it's like to watch someone bomb in real time, and more than that, you know that the room just sort of lets it happen. In contrast, I only just started soft limiting people to 4 to 5 minutes, because lately our lineup has been going up to 20 plus people, and I believe that everyone should get some time if they sign up. More than giving time to everyone, I think I might be the only open mic host that actively tries to introduce myself to new attendees so that I can pressure them to get on stage, even if it looks like they really don't want to. Because personally, I believe that everyone meets new friends and introduces themselves to people. Everyone has a story or a joke that they like to tell, and I just want to hear that from anybody. But I also wanted to know how it felt like to be on the other side, which is why I spent some time talking to Natalia and another friend, Muhan, who have both been coming to the show a long time, just to get a sense of what they think it feels like to be in that room.
I think when Laughs and Queer is at its best is when it kind of feels like we're like sitting around a campfire and the premise is not, give us your tight five real quick. It's just like, does anybody have anything to say? It doesn't have to be like quote unquote comedy, like you see comedy. And it's like, oh, I'm not a comedian. And it's like, really? You've never told a joke at a dinner table?
Yeah, you've never landed a punchline for a story to your friends? Yeah, I love when you like chime in and you're like, by the way, anybody wants to sign up? I'm right here with my notebook.
but you'll go up to somebody and they'll be like, no, I can't. And then their friend will often be like, you should tell them the cantaloupe story.
Yeah, tell them the cantaloupe story.
Or something like that. And I think that that's like fantastic. You could probably do like a reading of that is like, hey, you're recording queer history, kind of. Like a little bit. Like, or just like, I don't know, it's nice to hear people's story.
Hello, nice to meet you. I'm the host, Kay. Have you been here before?
I just saw some of y'all walk in.
Oh, amazing.
I'm the host.
The I wanted to ask what your names are. Are any of you
Steph,
getting
nice to meet
on
you.
Stage today? Maybe in the future.
Hello,
I will. Okay, not today. Okay.
Is this your first time at
but
the show?
If at any yeah. point, like, well, I'm the host, like, Kay. What are your names? Are any of you getting up on stage today?
Maybe.
Okay, no.
You are Australian. That's like crazy.
I know. I will definitely film you. I'm going to film the whole thing.
Right. Hell yeah.
The vibe is super cute. I try to like describe it as like friends hanging out around a fire, just like telling jokes and stories.
Are either of you planning to get on the mic today?
No? Maybe? No.
Okay,
maybe.
Oh, yes.
Are
yes.
either of you planning to get on
Wait,
the mic
are you
today?
Getting on as well? Todd,
maybe,
are you getting
maybe.
On?
If at Hell any yeah. point you're like, well, maybe, but yes. Just like wave
Nothing
me down.
To say. Okay.
Or, you know, save
if
it
for
next
some
time,
reason you're like, actually, I have something to say.
Kaye.
Kaye, Kaye.
What time is it?
Oh my god, it's 7:00.
Welcome! Hello! So good to see you. We're gonna get started like now.
One of the things that you said to me one time where it was with Jokesmaster 420, where you were like, that would only land in this room. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you mean when you say like this would only land here?
I think because, well, it's an open mic, first of all, but I think it's unique as an open mic in that it just feels like a very open experimental space, not like avant-garde, but it's experimental in the sense of like the spectrum goes from day-to-day conversation being funny, silly with your friends to really following the medium of stand-up comedy. And the audience knows that. So like everyone's kind of loose and everyone is like open to whatever may arise, including somebody like Jokemaster 420.
But right up, we've got Jokemaster 420.
What is something that is white and sticky? A branch from like a birch tree or an Hi everyone, my name is Jokesmaster 420, and I've written down some jokes to make you laugh today. Hold on to your seats because the temperature is about to get comical in here. I'm turning the dial up to comedy. Note, ask Kay for time check. We're good?
No, I really do like having like a venue to just like talk and speak your mind. If it's 5 minutes, like it's a comedy show, but you can like speak your truth, which is not something that like is afforded to, I mean, like trans and queer people in general very often.
What's the biggest difference between one of our shows versus doing these shows?
It's just very, like, friendly and safe, and so you can be more yourself, and then you're funnier, and then everyone laughs harder.
I love being in a room full of queer people, because I think one of the most difficult things about transitioning is the amount of preamble required when you're talking to cis people about anything. Like, I've been going to a lot of, like, open mics and comedy shows and stuff, and I'm so envious of the comics that can get on stage and be like, I'm the kind of guy who looks like he's gonna get scurvy one day. Or like, I'm the kind of woman who's not afraid of eating spaghetti. Like, so many people start their sets like this, and I have to come up on stage in front of all these people and be like, okay, so I'm not a kind of guy. I am a kind of woman. And depending on your political alignment, just a woman or maybe just a kind of woman. We'll figure it out.
No, I think listening to you talk about this, it's like making me like really reflect on the fundamental difference between Laughs and Queer versus other comedy shows. And I think it's this. I feel like at other stand-up shows, the premise of the agreement between the audience and the people on stage is that as an audience member, I'm here to be entertained. Like, I'm here with my arms crossed and your job is to make me crack and make me like burst out laughing. And it's like an antagonistic relationship, which is not to say it's a bad one, but it's like that's where you get like people who are mad and heckle. And the difference with Laughs and Queer is that this quality about Laughs and Queer has been cultivated over time by you and also with your core audience, that the expectation is that like we're all truly like making this moment together and making this comedy and the like listening to the stories, sharing them together. And that I think that also like bridges the distance between an audience member versus like somebody who like might sign up to go up. You can easily cross that bridge and like jump up there, tell one joke, tell one story, and then hop back down. It's not as much of like, I'm here for a service of being made to laugh. I feel like we talk a lot about how you are creating your own pipeline of like trans comics, but I don't think we talk enough about how you're also like cultivating a stand-up comedy audience, like a queer trans stand-up comedy audience, and like teaching them how to be a good audience and like hold that space for people.
Is there anyone else in here that like wanted to go? Yeah. Oh my goodness. You want to go now?
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it. Give it up for Isaiah.
Hi. Oh, brother. sorry. This is my, there's more people than me in the third row, I guess. That's interesting. This is my first open mic ever. Oh, stop, guys, please. I also, prepared nothing up until watching people go and being like, that's funny, and then thinking, there's funny things I think. Also.
Okay. So, I'm recently unemployed. Thanks. Thanks so much. So, comedy seemed like the right next step. This is my first time. It's a lot like my first time having sex because I'm scared and I'm not wet at all.
Hello, I'm a little nervous, but I feel very comforted around all these septum piercings.
All right, next up, we're going to bring up Carmen.
I do understand why so many men like go to open mics. I really relate to them because I, too, only want to perform for up to 5 minutes at a time.
Now, it's an absolute joy to watch people get up on stage for the first time, but admittedly, that last clip was a little bit different from the first three because that wasn't actually Carmen's first time at Laughs and Queer. I threw in Carmen's joke at the end there because she is another person who, like me, loves seeing new people try comedy, and we are reaching the point in the program where I want to go beyond Laughs and Queer. More than one, I need to go beyond Laughs and Queer because the reality is I'm not building this community alone. There are a ton of people I could shout out, and I will include a list in the episode description of all the people producing queer comedy in this city. But for this show, I wanted to highlight specifically three people who I really feel share this same ethos of community building in comedy. And the first of those people is Carmen. Carmen Lee, who, along with her best friend Amy Cornish, run another femme and queer-centered open mic in the city, fittingly named Open Michelle. I'll let the two of them take it from here.
Because, Amy, you told me that Laughs and Queer was the first mic that you had ever been to. Is that right?
This is true. August 15th or 16th.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Day.
Yeah, I remember because Carmen had started stand-up for about a year and a half, and from the top of the year, I had said that I wanted to do it. And I had gone to see the Little Mountain Gallery Wednesday night open mic and, you know, pretty rough and tumble. And, you know, Carmen would get up there. Lots of diverse folks would get up there, but still like very rough and tumble. And it never felt like, you know, the most accessible. But then Carmen introduced me to the Laughs and Queer. And it seemed like a wonderful stepping stone to even just get on the stage. And I think for so many people, that is the first obstacle, is even just getting on the stage and, you know, holding that mic. But I did. I went, and it was like a Friday night, and I was shitting my pants. But I had the greatest time. And Kay, you were like such a wonderful host, and there was like, what? It felt like a million people. But it was like, it was so funny, but it was also so supportive. And I was like, I think in that moment, I was like, I love stand-up, but I also realized that it can look different. It doesn't have to be so painful, I think. Yeah.
Please give it up for the wonderful Amy Cornish!
This feels good. This feels very natural. I'm wondering, like, at what point of parenthood you become a hoarder, you know? Like, I went home a couple weeks ago, and, like, the second I got in the door, my mom was like, I need you to go into your room and, like, take a look at all that you have and find what has sentimental value, okay? Little quiz, like, little hobbit quiz we're on, you know?
I think there was a moment that was really big for me when I went to Open Michelle. I saw you or heard you say nobody's allowed to bomb. It didn't clue in. And then when I asked you, like, oh, it's so cute that you're doing that too. And then you said, it's like, oh, it's for me. And I just like, oh my God, culture actually can change because it's people that make culture. Do you ever like sit and think about it?
I try to. It's honestly, Open Michelle is one of my favorite shows. And to see, I think, the growth in people. We've had a lot of like people come to watch the show, and then the next show they come and do stand up, mm-hmm. and like they do these like wonderful, so funny sets. Again, just full of jokes, not full of put downs, not full of making fun of people, or you know, it's just these like beautiful sets. You're just so proud for people. And I can only hope that, like, yeah, spaces like Open Michelle, Laughs and Queers, Gender Neutral is, like, cultivating that, like, for people to be truly funny without having to put others down.
Mm-hmm. I think that moment for me was like you remember your first mic. And so there's been people who like the Michelle was their first mic. And like, that's really cool to be like, that was where I started. It's cool to be one of those spaces. And like when you're in these other spaces, you see familiar faces and you're seeing the connections. And so that's really cool.
But I think we were like, we're community background. We like to go into spaces and bring people together more than anything. And I think like, from going to like places like Gender Neutral, Laughs and Queers, and then being in LMG and volunteering, and we were really volunteering at that time, and just seeing how like divided it felt like communities were, at least from my perspective, mm-hmm. like there was LMG comics and then there were other comics, you know? And it was like, it kind of sucks that everyone has to be in a silo or that there isn't mediary places that we can hang out and like be in LMG. I think that was a big thing, is that we wanted to bring, you know, diverse but inclusive into LMG that we kind of thought was lacking.
Please give it up for Alex.
I love cats. So I've been thinking a lot about my gender lately, which always comes after spending time in like very straight women's spaces. because like womanhood isn't that uncomfortable for me, but then you go to a real straight woman's space and I'm like, am I one of these? right? Like bachelorette party? Ooh, yuck. Baby shower? Never know what to do with my hands. A wellness class? Like, what the fuck is a divine feminine? Like, the yoga teacher is like, and now I invite you to get in touch with your divine feminine. And everyone else in the class just, like, reaches into their bag and pulls out their divine feminine. And I'm just standing there just kind of like, what the fuck is this? Tap my brain, like, oh, what does it look like? Just desperately trying to fit in.
Well, it was also like the Open Michelle was from also a friend, actually. It was Sarah who was in my first comedy class. She is the one who like showed me Noor Hadidi in Toronto, who has a mic called Open Michelle. Mm-hmm. And we had reached out at the time being like, we really like the name, like, can we use it here kind of thing. And she mm-hmm. was, yeah, so lovely. So that was nice. And I think the idea being like, we also like whatever space you've created, mm-hmm. like that's what we're also trying to do. Yeah. I think at that point, that was, like, what we wanted as comics, right? And then I think, like, you see so many funny people at Gender Neutral and, like, at Laughs and Queers. And then those are not the people at LMG, right? And you're like, but that's the comedy scene. And so we were trying to really bridge that piece of it. Yeah, I was like, our friends aren't here. Yeah. Yeah.
So as, like, a newer comic on the scene, I found it really hard to navigate some of those, like, bro-y, straight dude open mics because they're, like, unnecessarily hostile. And, like, it's team sports, you know? So if you go to Underground, you're like, fuck LMG. And if you're, like, at LMG, you're like, hey, yo, fuck Comedy After Dark. And it's like, but we're all doing the same thing, trying to have a good time and laugh. Why can't we all just support each other? But when you go to, like, Last and Queer, Gender Neutral, or somewhere like that, everybody, it's so much love. It's love for comedy. It's love for each other. And it's, like, one of the most beautiful environments I've ever been in.
And I think we talked about also creating, like, culture, like, comedy culture. Because, like, when I came out of Flying Tiger, like, Sasha would tell us, like, don't ever leave a show early, right? Like, stay mm-hmm. till land, watch everybody else. All of these things that, like, add to the community. But then when we were, like, in these spaces, it wasn't happening. But, like, if we can create space and kind of foster that, then hopefully it bleeds out.
You may have noticed the name Gender Neutral popping up fairly often in all these conversations. And that's for good reason. It is the third open mic that I want to fold into this conversation because as a free bi-weekly event, it's the room that I think really holds the community together, especially with the month-long stretches between Open Michelle and Laughs and Queer. Out of the three of us, it's also the only one that rotates its host amongst members of the community, giving it a distinctly collective feeling. It was started by Debbie Kirshen, an Anishinaabe woman with family ties to Saking Nation and Rolling River, Manitoba, who also runs IndigiGirl Comedy, which is a program that runs shows and mentors Indigenous women in reclaiming their own narratives through the lens of stand-up. As someone who believes in that same process for trans women, I admire her work immensely.
I've been a theater technician for like 15 years. And I just got tired of like listening to people sit and cry about social issues and like indigenous stories that were really sad and traumatic. And then I had a really hard time because a lot of people would be like, I'd be like an auxiliary help and they'd be like, shut up anytime I had an opinion. And like, I would never be allowed to voice what I thought about their artistic practice. So I just like, this is not worth my time anymore. And then so one producer actually brought me into the creative cycle and was like, okay, you have an opinion here, you can do it. And then that's what like gave me the courage to like start focusing on using my own voice. And so I told my family, I'm like, next year I'm going to do it. And then the pandemic hit.
So when you started doing it, did you start in DigiGrow Comedy first? Or did you start just like running around doing like shows and mics around the place?
I started in DigiGrow Comedy because I was too scared.
Yeah.
I was too scared to go to like mics because I was just like, I've heard horror stories. And so I was like, how do I make it safe for myself? And I was like, I'm going to go bring friends into it. And like the funniest women that I know, and I'm going to give us mentors and train us. I'm going to put us in a room and I'm going to train us how to do comedy so that when we come out, we can like actually do shows.
I was so single. I would lay between my mattress and my bed frame just so I could feel the weight of something on top of me. When I first moved to the West Coast, I was having a really hard time meeting people, you know? So I was like, okay, I got to open up the roster. I'm going to start dating short men. And I thought I'd give the West Coast Indians a chance. I could give them little kisses on the forehead.
And so at what point did gender neutral come in?
It came in, I think, about the second or third year. So I started understanding how the workshops would run. And so then it just became like a consistent motion. So I started going to open mics and I started finding the barriers, like not getting called up because I'm new or being discredited or talked down to or ignored, right? And so I was like, okay, how do I make it more accessible for someone like me to get into it? And so then I was in Toronto and I went for Comedy for Girls by Kelsey, I can't remember her last name. And I was like, Vancouver needs that. And so I came back, but I started brainstorming with Sasha Mark, and then Savannah coined the name. And then I was like, all right, let's go, let's do it. And then we just made it for like gender diverse and women and just like anyone that doesn't get representation or play in the regular rooms. And then we just started, you know, we started off in a dance studio that we could get for free. And then we ended up at Off the Rails because they were also free. So it's like free for everybody. Yeah. Like, it's accessible.
Okay, I am currently producing a radio show. And so I would like to ask y'all a question. Everyone just answer it once. How do we feel about gender neutral comedy? What are your favorite things about gender neutral comedy? Okay, thank you very much.
How much intention did you put into like that initial like starting, like getting the community going? Because now it's pretty much self-sustaining, but like how much work did you put in like getting it to happen?
It was just consistency, right? It was just like showing up and then people would show up, right? Like every time I'd be like, oh, I don't want to go. But then eight people would show up and they're like, oh, that's important for those eight people to get their 5 minutes, you know? So I was just like, okay. And so then when I can't show up now, it's nice that we have a community and I'm like, okay, I'm exhausted, I'm tired. Can you fill in? And they're like, yeah. And they're excited and they're really ready to jump up. And then everyone in the room like supports them, which is really important. Like, I think that just like happened naturally because it was just like, I don't know, because I'm just a nice person, too nice people say. But it's just like, I like feeding people's to feel welcome and like appreciated, right? And so that's what I always say to people. They're like, oh, thanks for this. And I'm like, ah, it's the room, you know? It's like you guys, because it's not, I'm not telling you guys to be nice to each other. Yeah. You know, everyone just comes in and it is that way. And they put that energy in, and that's the reason why it's good, is because everybody in the room comes in with that energy to be like, okay, we're here to try new things. And if it sucks, it sucks, whatever, it's okay. Yeah. Like they'll still, community will still help us or catch us and give us feedback or like support us while we flounder.
I just want to say,
I thank you all for like coming out and supporting one another and like being kind to each other and coming out and laugh and like making this room awesome and fun. And yeah, I can't wait to keep going. I need a break. I need to take a nap. So I'm going to take a month long nap and then we'll be back together.
Yeah. And I think Gender Neutral deserves also like praise because I think like the energy in that room, Gender Neutral would be like, is like my answer when you post, if you weren't doing the Laughs and Queer, would I go? It's like, I already do. It's called Gender Neutral. Because they also try to cultivate like a space that is like that you know, makes the membrane between audience and storyteller as thin as possible.
Wait, before you go, can you describe Gender Neutral in one word?
Fucking amazing, sexy, slutty.
Mwah. Thank you.
I want to pivot a little bit to Indigigirl comedy because I think that's something that's also super cool. The fact that you've created like a very intentional space to kind of cultivate that talent. What are you hoping to do with Indigigirl comedy?
Indigigirl is really special to me because it is community based and comedians hate me for that. They're like, oh, that's community work. That's cultural work. And I'm like, so? Comedy shows are inherently white. So is that a cultural producer? Are you a cultural producer producing for the white? And so it's just like, I get really frustrated with that. But it's special to me because it is that, right? Like I've created a safe space where Indigenous women are free to voice whatever the hell they want to say, whether it's like political or like calling somebody out or even sexual. Like we're not allowed to sexualize ourselves because MMIW, and so people will be like, that's bad, you shouldn't be being like that. And it's like, Indigenous women are sexual, but we've been condemned because of that, because everyone else sexualized us. But the power of it comes by us choosing to express our sexuality. You know, I don't, because my sexuality is not for public consumption, but I make that space for other women because they need it and they have a right to do it and speak on it, right? And so then creating the space for them to like actually have those opinions and say those things out loud and play with them is really great, because that's what happens within our in circles, right? And so I want to shine the light on the conversations that happen within culture to like bring it out to the public so they can see that, yeah, we are these like complex sexual beings that are intelligent and political and all these other spectrums that we have. And we're funny as shit.
Okay, in my language, you will learn. This is called ma. Okay? So anyways, kind of gives me a half hug and comforts me, I guess. And his hand was on my mouth. And I was thinking, gee, he got a young wife. Her mouth way up here. My mouth is down here where he's grabbing. He thought he was grabbing my waist. That's not where. That was my mouth. I said, Justin. So my picture is like, And that's a true story, and to this day, I wonder if I broke up his marriage.
That clip is from last year's Indigigirl comedy show at the Adaka Cultural Festival, and that is iconic White Horse storyteller Sharon Shorty recounting the time that she met Justin Trudeau. Yes, that Justin Trudeau, just for your context. You can find the full clip with the picture of the two of them together in the description. Earlier this year, me and Debbie both hosted shows at a local comedy festival here in Vancouver, her with Indigigirl, myself with a different show I run called Trans Girls Raw and Uncut, and we were arguably two of the most successful shows at the festival, but it still feels like somehow to some people that our success just doesn't really count in the same way.
Just the fact that you mentioned that there's some of those like comedians that don't quite get it, where these frustrations have been felt.
It's like if I like talk someone up, I'm like, oh, this person's funny, or, you know, or trying to push up the women that are in IndigiGirl, oftentimes they'll get like, oh, they're not, those aren't real people. Yeah. It's just like an attitude or air about people. When you're like, oh yeah, I do this for Indigenous women, they're like, oh. And then awkwardly walk away or something. Like, I don't know what it is, right? It's just like, they're just like, you're not real comedians.
I've had the exact same reaction. Like, it's crazy how the locally produced shows that did the best are the ones that have built community. The fact that you got international Indigenous talent to make that happen, like, it's so much bigger than just doing a comedy thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, because those women wouldn't have ever gotten that chance to get those credits without it, right? Like, and they're already like ostracized and like slightly removed from that community, because it's the same everywhere, where it's like a little cute white group that maintains the community and then doesn't let anybody in. And so like they're still doing their own thing, but like they're not being let into this comedian space, quote unquote, I'm air quoting. And like they don't get the opportunities given to them, you know?
I'm starting to get to a point where I'm kind of like over inclusion. I'm not going to fight for inclusion anymore. I'm just going to do it myself. And if you want to like eventually bring me in, fine, that's on your dime.
Yeah. Right?
How do you see that relationship to, you know, firstly being included to now, you know, kind of doing your own thing? How do you navigate that?
I slowly care less and less about being included, because the spaces that I try to be included in, I get there and I'm like, actually, I don't want to be here. And like, this is awful and this does still hurt my spirit. Like, why am I trying to chase after this person's show when they've shown harm against me and the community that I serve? And so I'm like, why am I chasing after this? And then one of my mentors, they were like, just focus on yourself. Just focus on what you're doing. That's all that matters. And I was like, okay. And then I just stopped worrying about it. And I was like, I don't need to be included in that show. I don't need to be included in that community. Like, I'll go elsewhere. I'll find what I need. And then that's what just, like, made me the happiest. Because it was like, once I stopped trying to pursue being in, then I was just like, whatever, who cares? I'm just going to go do what I want. And then that's what makes me the happiest.
Before I started doing comedy, I would go, like I said, we would go to an open mic and Carmen would go up and, like, kill it, of course. But then, like, it felt like it would be, like, man after man. And, like, I remember, like, there would be men that would just, like, absolutely say the most atrocious things, especially about, like, Palestine. And, like, it's just so inappropriate and not funny. But I think it was just, like, the lack of structure around any sense of accountability for what people were saying on stage. Like, people wouldn't get red-lighted. They would, like, be free to continue what they were saying. And, like, the audience just had to take it, even though everyone was in this disagreement, this collective disagreement that this was not okay. However, they were allowed to continue on.
It's a lot of anger.
Yes.
Like, and because they were talking about, like, either parts of my identity or people that I knew and loved. But, like, we've seen there are ways that the hosts and people who run these spaces, like, can kind of create that. And there's ways to do so with kindness. Absolutely. And, like, in a caring way.
I think it's so special to have, like, a dedicated queer and trans and, like, very trans-forward space where people don't have to prime the audience with, like, haha, I'm trans, and, like, go, like, ABC before they talk about, I don't know, shit that they care about and, like, are living in their world. I feel the most, like, oh, my God, we're doing it. It's happening when there's, like, intergenerational comics in one night, which happens very often at Laughs and Queer. And they're naming that, like, the comics are naming that, where they're like, oh, yeah, like, I'm a lesbian that came up in this scene and it was like this back in the day, and I'm like learning stuff and I'm like, oh shit, like we need that as queer people to learn our history and like build these connections with each other that we don't find. It's such a blessing to like get that in this space. It feels like we are world building as a queer and trans community rather than just fighting for our rights. It's like we're connecting with each other, we're telling each other stories, we're like building what's like an MCU like universe, like it's a trans cinematic universe.
One of the things that feels really cool to me when I see gender neutral, Open Michelle, IndigiGirl comedy is that we all have this thought process of like, how do we get people continuing to go up? Right? Where I don't see that at all in like the typical open mic scene where it's just like, you know, fuck you, got mine.
Yeah.
And, you know, fight for it if you want it.
It's like you have to be good. You have to walk in, you have to have your good jokes. You have to be like spot on. They expect you to be like a professional and then, but then still discredit you and you're like, just treat you like trash. Yeah.
Where it feels like all of us are actually trying to like push people in the community to keep growing and like, you know, do their own thing.
Yeah. Makes it possible. So now I want to get it to a point where I can actually pay people to host. Like I'm starting to get more people to host. So now I'm like, how do I compensate them for that work and for them to learn that? And the people that do host come out and they just start making their own show. So it's like a leveling up. It's working the way I want it to work.
And I think the power of comedy for me has always been like, it was the first time where I think I saw people who like look like me or look nothing like me, but share these vast human experiences. And you're like, oh, like there's so many facets of humanity. And like, there's so many things that I thought that have changed or that like, that I didn't realize I had a story to tell. I didn't realize that was a story that I could have told, that it was mine to tell.
I'm excited about where comedy's going when it's allowed for queer people to be able to like tell their stories. And I just think, and I see that in myself with like the comedy that I write, there's quite a lot of like, what's that term that we've used? Stereotype threat, which you can probably define better than I can.
Just the way when there are stereotypes about your identity, everything that you do doesn't necessarily conform to the stereotype, but it becomes defined in relation to the stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
Like you start defining yourself in relation to a stereotype in a way that limits you from realizing that actually your expression is so far beyond it, and that you end up being confined in this like antagonistic, like either for or against relationship to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And I guess like I see a little bit of like, is I find myself needing to counter a response to the stereotype that exists about trans femmes, either subverting it or, you know, following along with it in a comedic sense. And just like a lot of stereotypes for trans femmes are unfair and they're founded in like lies or in bad faith. And I definitely find in Laughs and Queer, a lot of the comedy comes from like not necessarily like hitting a lot of like the, I guess, expected notes that you get from like a trans comedian that they feel like they need to hit for a cisgender audience. Am I making sense?
Making tons of sense, baby. You're speaking my language.
I recently watched, I think it was Atsuko in an interview, and she described performing as protecting the audience, which I thought was a really interesting term. And I've been thinking about that. And I'm not quite sure like what my relation to that is. Because I think that comment made me realize, like, when you're creating art, you're like, here, this is what I think. And then there's this space of, like, what do you think about that, right? Right? So the responsibility of, like, hearing what the audience is giving me based on what I've said and, like, going back and be like, okay, what's my intention? And, like, what am I trying to say, really? Yeah.
So next year, this upcoming year, I would like to really focus on BC. So I want to cultivate the talent in Northern BC and go to different communities and provide workshops to Indigenous women in community so that they can learn how to write jokes and play with funny content and learning how to like shift their mind from taking their trauma stories and crying about it, but now shifting them and being like, how can I make that funny? And so a lot of the workshops, it's just like a reframing of the mind, right? So I want like artists and women and like arts administrators that are like stuck in the like gears of colonization and they're fighting the system constantly. I want to give those women a break. And I want them to be able to sit and laugh and share stories of like what makes them happy and what brings joy to them. And like kind of showing them themselves that like you have the light and you have the possibility to change how you see things. And then if a comedian comes out of it, fantastic. You know, if someone comes out of it and is like, this is what I want to do, we'll support them. You know, we'll bring them up and we'll bring them other shows. We'll create new opportunities for them so that they can practice in the safe space for audiences intended for their comedy, matching the need to the audience, right? I like the humor and the call to be joyful. That's what I love about it. That's what I get out of it. It's just like, it's like sitting at your auntie's table sharing. You're like, oh my God, I was so dumb. Like,
it's all about the connection. It's like, that's what I'm trying to achieve with working with an audience is forming some kind of connection. And yeah, I think you see people get quite successful with saying like really horrible things. But it is different. I do feel like with more inclusive mics, shows,
you're bringing in people who want to be there and are there that usually align with your own values. And I think that's such a big thing, this like idea of values that you can bring on stage. Because I think it, maybe this is controversial, but I do think it is more than laughs. I think that is like, as an artist, as a stand-up comedian, it is more about just garnering laughs. I do think that there is a bit of a either responsibility or duty to like provide joy, but in a way that, again, like leaves people feeling either empowered or like, you know, happy to be here and happy to be here with everyone, whether they're in the room or not.
We're done.
Amazing.
That quote is probably going to end the series.
Thank you for listening to this production of Laughs in Queer, a story of new voices, new communities, and new cultures in stand-up comedy. This production has been recorded, produced, and situated on the unceded Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh lands, also known as Vancouver, BC. Before you go, please vote for Indigigirl Comedy to win Pow Wow Pitch and continue supporting their work. Stay to the end for more details on how to vote from Debbie herself. Personally, I am also performing my debut comedy hour, Accidentally Heterosexual, this year at the Vancouver Fringe Festival from September 4th to 14th. In the description, you can find details for Indigigirl Comedy, Gender Neutral Comedy, Open Michelle, Laughs in Queer, my other shows, and a list of other queer stand-up shows in the city. I am excited to meet y'all out there, and I really do hope that you get on one of those mics, and I get to hear your story someday, too. Keep giving love to yourself and to those around you. This has been Kay, and I'll see you next time.
Tell me about a powwow pitch and where people can vote.
Okay, so Indigigirl is pitching a powwow pitch for a chance for $25,000 to help us with our workshops and our ongoing programming to create accessible spaces for women, queer, and Indigenous women to have access to comedy spaces to write, perform, whatever. So you can vote for us at powwowpitch.org/vote. And then you can go through. You can only vote once. So vote for Indigigirl.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm going to do so good at this pitch.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM's podcast incubation program, Power and Voice. This initiative was made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and we'd like to thank them for their support in bringing these voices to your headphones or earbuds or car speakers, however you are consuming today's episode. Thanks for listening, and thank you to the Community Radio Fund of Canada.